This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. This segment is the ramp up to Super Bowl 59 with Jay Cicero, who's the president and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. They also host the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, and they are the host committee for the Super Bowl of 2025. And he's joined by Patty Riddlebarger, chair of Impact 59 Legacy Grant Committee. Folks, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Thank you, Newell.
So, Jay, let's start out. Let me first talk a little bit about the prep of the city. It seems like a lot of good things are happening, a lot of momentum, a lot of things falling in place.
You know, we're really happy and very proud of how the state of Louisiana and New Orleans of the greater New Orleans area really come together to really want to put our best foot forward for the Super Bowl. And look, we've always said if it takes a Super Bowl to motivate folks to get things done, then so be it. It shows the power of that event and the power that happens and what can happen if we all work together and pull together. It's been great so far. There's a lot more to do in the next 5.5 months.
You know, Jay, what's interesting, I've had a lot of people say, oh, you know, why does it take a Super Bowl? I said, let me ask you something. Are you motivated by a deadline? Because I am. There's a deadline looming. I get off my duff and I do something.
That's right. It's a point. It gets everybody focused, point in time, and everybody working together. It's really an amazing event to be able to do that.
So we have a special event coming up. It's right around the corner, September 12th, the Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon, and we'll have a special guest and a special presentation. Tell us about it.
We will. We have actually Commissioner Roger Goodell is going to be coming in next week, and he is going to be on stage with us to help us honor the memory of Tom Benson and honor Gail Benson for her philanthropy and generosity in our community and her meaning to sports in Louisiana and the NFL. That's at Superdome at noon on Thursday the 12th. We also have our chair of the Super Bowl host committee, Marcus Brown, who is executive vice president and chief legal officer for Entergy. He's going to give us an update on everything happening with the Super Bowl host committee. And then we're going to do a panel discussion on the history of Super Bowl in New Orleans. We brought back the senior vice presidents of the NFL, the past three of them, including the current one, who will be responsible for 7 of our 11 Super Bowls in the city.
So I've got a text here that says, while NOLA is tied for hosting the most Super Bowls, the Dome holds a record for individual venues. Is that true?
That's true. It'll be their 8th. And that's an amazing stat. That's for sure. 50-year-old facility and 55 years of hosting the Super Bowl.
I didn't realize that that was the case. That little interesting tidbit, and there's so many of those as it relates to this ramp up to the Super Bowl. Patty, let's go to you. You are the chair of Impact 59 Legacy Grant Committee, and this is a part of the Super Bowl a lot of people don't know about, right? It kind of, I guess, lurks in the shadows. We want to pull it out from lurking in the shadows and talk about this community engagement and giving back to the city of New Orleans.
Yes, thanks. We are super excited about it. This is intended to be a legacy for the city, a gift on the part of the NFL, the host committee, and other local partners to do something really spectacular and make sure that there's a lasting impact. It's not just a game that's played and is over, but that the community and the communities, the larger communities, this program benefits 10 parishes, that there is something of value that will impact the lives of the people who live here.
And Jay, I know this is important to the Sports Foundation, their mission and vision as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, Newell. Anything that we can do to not only bring economic impact but community engagement through these major events is something we take a lot of pride in. And Patty's being modest. Entergy and the Saints and NOLA Coalition, United Way, or of course the NFL, all participating in the Impact 59 program that's powered by Entergy, by the way, and. They're going to be giving away grants. We are going to be giving away grants over the next several weeks and months to nonprofits in the area. But Patty, being the chair of that committee, yeah. I'll let her expand on the process.
Yes. So it's going to be a minimum of $3 million of grants that will be awarded to nonprofits across a 10-parish area. $1.5 million was committed by the NFL. Entergy Charitable Foundation committed $1 million, and then other community partners, including the host committee, the New Orleans Saints, Auctioner, United Way of Southeast Louisiana, and the NOLA Coalition put in the remaining dollars to make the $3 million fund. So the grants will be given away in five different major program areas that include youth development, workforce training, education, health and wellness, equity and inclusion. We had a big event in July to announce the opening of the program and that applications were being accepted. Over 600 applications were submitted by the time that the deadline approached, which was August 23rd. And right now, even as we speak, there's a dedicated team of folks at United Way Southeast Louisiana who are reviewing every one of those applications. They're vetting them for eligibility. And scoring them, and the selection committee will be making their decisions at the end of the month and announcements to come in October.
Now, you guys, going through this, I guess, a vetting process, and ultimately they will be – these grants – excuse me, I'm all tongue-tied here. These grants will be awarded between now – and the event? Is that what the plan is?
So the grant program goes through September of next year. The announcement of which organizations will be receiving how much will be made in the fall, probably October timeframe. The first allotments of grants will be the money will go out before the end of the year, but there'll be a second phase. So it's being done in two phases. Where the grantees will get one check before the end of the year and then another one about midway through the grant period. And then the programs are supposed to be done and complete by September of next year.
And you also have other portions of this initiative as well. STEM programming is one?
Yes, STEM-NOLA. Incredible organization. We're partnering with STEM-NOLA to offer hands-on STEM learning opportunities for children across the region. There'll be a number of those that are taking place between now and the Super Bowl. So be on the lookout for information about dates, times, and places for those.
And also sustainability. Entergy, as the founding partner here, you guys are deeply invested and committed to the success and prosperity of this community, as well as some green initiatives.
Yes. My colleague, Elizabeth Adam, who is also an Entergy executive, is chairing the sustainability committee. And they have a goal of having of making sure that the Super Bowl is as clean as possible. In fact, I think they're shooting for a net zero game. And that means emissions associated with hosting the game. It means recycling and minimizing any waste associated with the game and games activities. But it also means tree planting and coastal restoration efforts. And there will be volunteer initiatives that will be announced in the weeks to come where members of the public can join and participate in doing activities in the region that will help make us be more resilient and more sustainable.
Now, you guys, Jay, the other day announced your community champions. That's a group that you've put together to assist all of this effort and I guess to be a little bit of the face of the initiative.
Yeah, Newell, I can tell you my 34 years of being with the Sports Foundation and doing these and managing these major events, the announcement and press conference that we had on Tuesday was one of the best ones I've ever attended or managed. We announced that analyst and sideline reporter Jen Hale, New Orleans Saints defensive end Cam Jordan, Saints linebacker DeMario Davis, and Saints safety Tyrann Mathieu would be serving as community champions for all of our community engagement programs for the Super Bowl. And they each spoke, and each one of them broke my heart. I mean, it was amazing that they're so dedicated to this community. And Tyrann and Jen, being from New Orleans, really is very special. But to see what DeMario and Cam have done and will be doing for this community is really inspiring. It was an incredible event. I wished everybody could have been there to see it, but they're going to be volunteering their time to serve as community champions for the Super Bowl host committee.
And thanks goes out to
them. They have so much love for the city.
Yeah, and thanks go out to your corporate sponsor there, Chevron, who's assisting with the host committee ambassador program as well, right?
Absolutely, and we're calling our volunteer program this year the ambassador program, and brought to you by Chevron, and Chevron's been involved with us for a number of years for a number of different events, but you know we'll need thousands of volunteers. For Super Bowl and the weeks leading up to Super Bowl, of course, game week, and we're actively recruiting them now. People can go to NOLASuperBowl.com and sign up to be an ambassador or a volunteer. We're going to have a massive effort at the airport as well as downtown for not only people to wayfinding for folks to get where they need to go, but we're also going to have some interactive games for them to play on their phones about the history of Super Bowl in New Orleans and being able to engage them with not just, where to eat our favorite bar or restaurant, but, about the history of Super Bowl in New Orleans, which we think is pretty unique.
Jay, if you would for a moment, I mean, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm not sure that the listening audience understands the intricacy and the difficulty of setting ourselves apart as a Super Bowl host. I mean, when you think about Super Bowls, it's the best of the best all the time, right? it's kind of hard to surpass the previous Super Bowl.
Everybody's trying to top each other, I can tell you that. And certainly Las Vegas did a good job this year, which is a few months ago, several months ago. But we've been fortunate. Again, this will be our 11th overall and the fourth that the Sports Foundation would serve in this role as the staff of the host committee. And You know, we're always searching to do things a little better than what other cities do and better than what we've done in the past. So to be able to have that experience and to be able to lean on folks like Patty Riddlebarger and Elizabeth Adams and Marcus Brown and Rob Hatley from Entergy to serve on our committees, or some of our committees. We have 16 committees that we have all together that are really moving forward and preparing for those and 2 weeks of the event.
And none of these people are busy, right, in their own right? I mean, they're just kind of waiting around.
Nobody has anything to do but whatever we ask them to do.
But answer Jay's phone calls, right?
That's right. No, their leadership and their expertise, and Patty's expertise in the corporate social responsibility and through the Entergy Foundation is valuable to us. You know, we at the Sports Foundation,
absolutely,
like I said, we're not used to giving away money. We're used to asking for it and begging folks to get involved.
Yeah, y'all are traditionally beggars, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So to have the experts like Patty and her group to really guide us and guide this program and be the sponsors of it and in charge of it is really a blessing of Entergy being involved.
All right, Patty, tell the truth. When you see Jay Cicero's number pop up on your phone.
Oh no, it's a privilege for me personally and for Entergy as the Fortune 500 company headquartered here in the city. It's a privilege for us to be able to work with the city and the state to position us in the very best possible light and have the best ever Super Bowl.
Well, you know, it's really great that y'all, you know, stand up and take on this role. It's hard, right, Jay? I mean, you know, we as the number of big companies like Entergy that we have, we're kind of a little bit at a disadvantage when you think about some of the other cities, right? So it's key that companies like Entergy, Chevron, and others really step up and take on a big task force.
You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. The fact that we only have two Fortune 500 companies in the entire state of Louisiana, you know, puts us at a little bit of a disadvantage for the private fundraising effort that needs to happen for some of these events. However, groups like Entergy, Chevron, Ochsner, and others in the area have stepped up. We're in the fourth quarter of our fundraising effort right now, maybe getting close to the two-minute warning of that effort. And we're pretty excited about where we stand at this point. And, you know, it's really inspiring to see these companies and corporations step up. But yeah, when you're bidding against Los Angeles and Phoenix, Dallas, Houston, Miami, Atlanta, who have more citizens in their metropolitan area than we have in our entire state, as well as more Fortune 500 companies and Fortune 1000 companies than we could, and we wish we had that many. That is, it does leave us in an uphill climb. Our advantages, obviously, are that we have groups like Entergy and that we have the Sports Foundation and the New Orleans Saints, of course. Don't want to leave out Mrs. Benson and the New Orleans Saints. We wouldn't be here doing this without her and them. And so to be able to compete with these cities is something that we as a Sports Foundation have a big focus upon. And we're working with the governor, Lieutenant Governor, and everyone that in the mayor's office, as well as all the government entities around here, to make sure that we can be competitive and be resourceful to be able to compete with these other much larger and much more Fortune 500 company headquartered cities.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that because I think sometimes a lot of folks don't really connect these dots and the sacrifices that a lot of the corporate sector of our community has to make in order to make sure that we put our best foot forward and that we succeed in this endeavor. And, you know, the other thing about this community, and I think we just have a couple of minutes left, we overcome a lot of that because we're just, we're nice to one another, right? We're friendly. You'll make more friends here in 3 months than you'll make in other towns in 3 years. And that reveals itself in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that at the press conference the other day, the Community Champions press conference, that we were talking about our Chevron Ambassador Program and saying that, you know, when our citizens and people of Louisiana in general, they meet somebody, you know, we always want to tell them where our favorite po' boy shop is, but, you know, 2 hours later, we're inviting them to stay overnight at our house. It's just the way we are. That's what makes us unique compared to other states and other cities. And it is one of the advantages that we have when you start to weigh the disadvantages and the advantages. That's certainly one of the advantages that we have.
That kind of tees up the host committee theme, Jay. It's what we do. We host people. Hospitality is what we're all about as a region.
Yeah. Well said.
Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. I know we'll be meeting again soon as we continue our series of the ramp up to Super Bowl 59. Just so much to report on. We appreciate everything that you're doing, all the time spent, and we look forward to visiting with y'all again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Newell.
Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. Do you think it's important to prove citizenship in order to register to vote? We'll go to the talk lines when we come back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. So the question is, they're proposing the SAVE Act, and this is all about making sure that the rolls to vote are sacrosanct, because in federal elections, you have to be a citizen in order to vote. And the question is, do you think it's important to do so? A lot of folks are saying it's going to be a burden. There are some polls that indicate that it would be hard for folks to be able to generate a document that shows that they're a citizen. What's interesting, though, is that the Real ID, your driver's license, that's going to be going into effect May 7th of 2025, it requires five things, five documents. A document that shows your full legal name, your date of birth, your Social Security number, two proofs of address of your principal address, and the last, lawful status. And you're not going to be able to travel and get through TSA and the like without the Real ID. It's important enough for travel. Why wouldn't it be important enough to vote? Interesting. Let's go to Rich. Rich, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell, how do you read me, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Rich.
these are your two biggest issues that you're always talking about, immigration and voter fraud. And I think most of us liberals.
I've rarely talked about voter fraud, but go ahead.
Well, what you're talking about is, I mean, we know what you're getting to here, man. I mean, the illegal immigration, I'm with you, man. We need to solve it. Democrats get an F on immigration. I don't disagree with you much on that. I disagree with your numbers some. But, you know, the voter ID, I mean, we know what all that is, man. The voter fraud stuff. So let's cut to the chase here for a second. In 2016, Trump said Hillary got 3 to 5 million illegal votes. But the amazing thing is he convened the commission to investigate it, the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. Do you know how many illegal votes they found? They met for months. They didn't find any, nothing. Nobody got arrested. There was no conspiracy. So the 3 to 5 million illegal vote thing is a figment of your imagination, his imagination, and yours if you believe it. But then, you know, it gets better. 2020, Trump said he won in a landslide. Biden got 81 million. Trump got 74 million votes. So 7 million illegal votes out there. We should have been able to find something. It shouldn't be that hard if there was actually 7 million fraudulent votes. But, of course, sane people know there aren't. The problem is about 80% of your party believes this nonsense, and it even inspired some of these fools to attack the Capitol, man. So, I mean, your point is just code for this issue.
So let me ask you a question, Rich. What difference does it make to this issue what Donald Trump has to say? Because I'm not moved one degree right or left by what Donald Trump has to say. The principal question here is that the law requires that you be a citizen in order to vote. Right now, the practice in this country is they simply ask you, are you a citizen, without having to provide any proof? How many things in your life are you faced with that at some point in time, the other day I was picking up my wife's prescription, I had to give him my driver's license. I had to prove that I was the husband of my wife in order to get the medicine. Is voting in this country not on equal par with things like that? The real ID issue in order to be able to travel. The safety and security of travel, asking for your lawful status, is voting not simply just as important? Why is it that we always go to Donald Trump? I don't give a damn about what Donald Trump has to say. He says a lot of stupid things.
He's a leader.
The real issue here is, so what? No, he's not. He's not the leader. He's not my leader. I've said we should have put him in the rearview mirror on January 7th. So, but the point is, Is this really a partisan issue? Do we not desire the rolls, the voting rolls, so that we can get into all of these nuanced ways of voting? Do we not desire that they're sacrosanct?
Can I answer your question?
That's the real question here. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Here's the answer to your question. Where are the illegal votes? Where is the problem? There is no problem. You're proposing a solution.
If there's no problem, then
exist.
Why are Democrats opposed to it? If there's no problem, why are Democrats opposed to the SAVE Act?
Where is the problem? Where are the illegal
votes?
Can you
answer the question? There's no problem, if there's no issue at all, and no one has any fear, then why are Democrats opposed to the SAVE Act?
Well, I guess we can have dueling questions. I'm asking you, where are the illegal votes? Where are the illegal votes?
Well, there have been audits that have revealed that there have been some folks vote illegally. I grant you, it's not a significant number. Would it have made a difference in any of these elections? I don't believe so. But separate and apart from that, again, as we get into these exotic ways of voting, and we're actually going to be some states are starting to vote next week, for November election, do we not desire a voter roll that is sacrosanct? That's the threshold question. And if there's no problem, then why are Democrats opposed to it? We got to prove who we are in so many other ways. To get on a plane, I got to give up an ID. To get prescription, I got to give up an ID. To pick up tickets that I've ordered, I got to give up an ID to go to a concert. So many different things that are required that we identify who we are. Why is there reluctance when it comes to voting?
Well, you just said it. So, I mean, I'm going to answer your question that you keep asking. Why are Democrats opposed to it? You just said it. I mean, yeah, if you have a real ID, you know, it requires several things. You know, to get a driver's license requires several things. But does everybody have a driver's license?
No,
they don't. And who doesn't have driver's license? Generally,
they can get poor people,
which is.
But you don't need a drive. You don't need a driver's license. What you need is a birth certificate. If you're born in this country, you're a citizen.
So do you think everybody?
In fact, to get my first driver's license, you have to bring a birth certificate to show how old you are, that you are old enough to drive. And that document in and of itself proves citizenship. Mine says I was born in Los Angeles, California, on January 11th, 1958. And by virtue of that birth of an immigrant mother, first generation immigrant mother, I am a citizen of the United States.
That's great. Congratulations. Do you think every inner city poor person has all of these things, these documents, a driver's license, or if they don't have
you want to know something?
You think they
these poor people, if anybody is on a federal program, they have had to generate that document. You don't get those benefits without proving that you are actually a citizen of the United States. You know, it's interesting. Democrats like yourself say this all the time. Oh, this is targeted. Really? Well, every social program that they've generated, both Republicans and Democrats alike, guess what they require? Proof of who you are. And typically that's done through what? A birth certificate. Because you're not entitled to some of these benefits if you're not a citizen. And it's amazing how we always jump to, you know, this low expectation that we have of members of the lower socioeconomic group that they can't find their way to a birth certificate. But yet they do repeatedly over and over and over again. It's amazing how this works.
Oh, so we're on to the entitlement thing now, are we?
No. The point is, Rich, is that you don't understand that folks are asked for this in so many different walks of life, but for whatever reason, Democrats are quick to say, there's no problem here. Why would we want to do this? There's no problem here. Then why are you opposed to it? If it's no problem, why don't we just do that? That way everybody has some level of confidence that everyone on that roll is a citizen of the United States.
I already have that confidence because think about it. An illegal in this country, I mean, the whole idea that they would go and risk being deported in order because they hate Donald Trump so much, they want to go risk everything to go vote, you know, go somewhere where they're being asked for their name, who they are, where there are police everywhere. Sure, they're lining up to do that, Newell, because we know this because we found so many.
Do you not understand that this can happen just by accident? That they don't have a clear understanding that they're not allowed to do so? That when they walk in and they enroll and there's a question, are you a citizen of the United States? A lot of folks don't really understand the status that they are in this country, right? As to whether or not they have a green card or not. They're not a citizen. But they believe that they have the rights and privileges of a citizen as a result of having that green card. And they mistakenly articulate that they are. I'm not saying that this is always nefarious. That there's always no. We've caught them. Just look at some of the most recent stories. They had 1,900 over here and 900 over there. I mean, it's not a significant amount, but it happens. You know, it's also, you know, the same flip side of why. Well, I don't need to get into that, but so you don't believe that it's necessary in the end.
No, I wouldn't say it's worthless. But it's right down the same line of trying to exclude people from voting. If we had this problem, I would say, yes, we need to fix this. But we
why
don't
is
have
this about exclusion? Why is it about exclusion?
Excluding? What are you talking about?
Why all of a sudden are we saying this is an exclusionary effort?
You don't think the voter registration
it's a minimum requirement. So everything that has a requirement is exclusionary and has some devious outcome that they're looking for when it's required. So why even require it then? Why even say you have to be a citizen to vote? I mean, that's the law. You have to be a citizen to vote. So the law itself is exclusionary. But the proof, you know, we seem to forget that when we want to make the proof and bring that to the table, that's the whole thing. That's the only part of it that's exclusionary is bringing the proof, not the fact that the law says you have to be that.
Well, Newell, I'm just going to tell you, man. Your local politics. I'm usually closely aligned with you, but on your national stuff. You know, you're full blown conservative, and you know this is Donald Trump code that you're espousing here.
Being full blown
illegal votes.
Being full blown conservative. Thank you for that compliment, Rich. I appreciate that. We got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I conceded from the very beginning that. Non-citizens casting ballots are not appearing in large numbers. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to beat back a lot of what folks are propagating out there relative to this practice of non-citizens voting, you adopt rules to ensure that the voting roll is sacrosanct. That's how you develop a sense of honesty in the system. And that the system is not subject to abuse, is that when people go and register and they realize that they have to prove this and prove that, in many states, they require a driver's license. In many states, you don't have to register to vote until you show up to vote. I think that that's a dangerous practice because I'm not certain that they have the wherewithal to check whether or not these folks are eligible to vote. And in many cases, there is a process that they have after the election where then they start disregarding votes. And then that allows those that are out there, you know, that want to perpetuate these myths about the process not being sacrosanct, you give them fodder to do so. I was not on the voting machine scandal bandwagon. Never was I. Because I understood, because of my role as sheriff and what in my role coming up as sheriff, working with the clerk of court's office, understanding the system here, how it worked, the safeguards that were present and everything else, that it's not in a lot of cases subject to a lot of abuse. But the way to guarantee, in my view, that there is confidence in this system is to have basic requirements that have to be met and expectations. This is a privilege to vote in this country. Some people take it to heart. Others don't. And they want to develop, a lot of folks want to develop a system that has all kinds of exceptions for those that don't take it seriously. like, you know, setting up a system where you can register to vote on the day of the election. That's not a good situation, quite frankly, in my view. It makes people believe that the system is suspect. And there's a better way of doing this. Wouldn't you like to put this issue to rest? I know I would. I wouldn't want to ever have to talk about it again. I wouldn't. It would be nice if we didn't have all of these exotic voting schemes now that we're actually voting on a November election in September. Why? We have candidates that haven't even completely revealed themselves yet that don't take positions. You think this is by coincidence? They're doing so because they don't want to hurt themselves as it relates to some of their policies. And that goes to both Democrats and Republicans. There's no one that has the corner on this. Trust me. It's not about you or me. It's about them. It's about the perpetuation of the party. It's about the perpetuation of a whole lot of different things. We can put that to rest right here and now if we make the rules in order to get to a voter roll that is sacrosanct. And it's interesting because in Colorado and Washington that had some of the most exotic voting schemes back in 2016, all said that the only way they were able to pull this off legitimately is that our voting rolls are solid. We purge who needs to be purged. We double check. We make sure that the people that vote here actually live here. They're living in their precincts that they say that they're living in. And we're constantly doing audits of the voter roll. And if you don't do that, you're asking for trouble. Now, Colorado, not a conservative state. Washington state, not a conservative state, and both of them embrace a lot of what Republicans have said all along, is that if you go through these issues, you deal with these processes, you take it seriously to ensure an outcome that's meaningful. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're up. What say you? Pandora, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. This is quick. When I worked for the state with substance abuse and mental health, we just looked them up from Social Security by their card, identified them that way. Then we could take them to the driver's place and get them a Louisiana ID. I carry both of them because I don't like to leave my driver's license in stores and stuff. And it counts for anything, even to vote. So there is no excuse that people can't go get it. You know, you don't have to have a driver's license. You can get the ID with your Social Security card.
So you support having to prove citizenship to register to vote?
No, I do. I really do, because I don't know who's not, you know. That's a hard question. I'm ambivalent on that. I just know there is, like, no excuse where poor people can't get registration if they need to.
When you got your driver's license, when you got your driver's license, did you have to bring a birth certificate?
I think so, because I was 16. But you can get a Louisiana ID that's as good as a driver's license. License for voting and stuff, but all you need is your Social Security card, and they will check you out by that.
Right. That is true. Thank you so much, Pandora. Appreciate it. We will be right back. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. It's Free for All Friday, and Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Wow, like, this is really great. We're in this, we're in a conference room. There's a bunch of food. People are drinking mimosas already. And, I mean, it's a rainy Friday afternoon. We're at Go Tax Resolution. It's the grand reopening of Go Tax Resolution in Mandeville on the North Shore. So, you know, we're going to kind of put politics aside and mostly have a fun show this afternoon.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Got an incredible lineup. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Go Tigers, go Wave, go Saints. We'll see you on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I conceded from the very beginning that non-citizens casting ballots are not appearing in large numbers. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to beat back a lot of what folks are propagating out there relative to this practice of non-citizens voting, you adopt rules to ensure that the voting roll is sacrosanct. That's how you develop a sense of honesty in the system and that the system is not subject to abuse. Is that when people go and register and they realize that they have to prove this and prove that. In many states, they require a driver's license. In many states, you don't have to register to vote until you show up to vote. I think that that's a dangerous practice because I'm not certain that they have the wherewithal to check whether or not these folks are eligible to vote. And in many cases, there is a process that they have after the election where then they start disregarding votes. And then that allows those that are out there, you know, that want to perpetuate these myths about the process not being sacrosanct, you give them fodder to do so. I was not on the voting machine scandal bandwagon. Never was I. Because I understood, because of my role as sheriff and what in my role coming up as sheriff, working with the clerk of court's office, understanding the system here, how it worked, the safeguards that were present and everything else, that it's not in a lot of cases subject to a lot of abuse. But the way to guarantee, in my view, that there is confidence in this system is to have basic requirements that have to be met and expectations. This is a privilege to vote in this country. Some people take it to heart, others don't. And they want to develop, a lot of folks want to develop a system that has all kinds of exceptions for those that don't take it seriously. Like, you know, setting up a system where you can register to vote on the day of the election. That's not a good situation, quite frankly, in my view. It makes people believe that the system is suspect. And there's a better way of doing this. Wouldn't you like to put this issue to rest? I know I would. I wouldn't want to ever have to talk about it again. It would be nice if we didn't have all of these exotic voting schemes now that we're actually voting on a November election in September. Why? We have candidates that haven't even completely revealed themselves yet, that don't take positions. You think this is by coincidence? They're doing so because they don't want to hurt themselves as it relates to some of their policies. And that goes to both Democrats and Republicans. There's no one that has the corner on this. Trust me. It's not about you or me. It's about them. It's about the perpetuation of the party. It's about the perpetuation of a whole lot of different things. We can put that to rest right here and now if we make the rules in order to get to a voter roll that is sacrosanct. And it's interesting because in Colorado and Washington, that had some of the most exotic voting schemes back in 2016, all said that the only way they were able to pull this off legitimately is that our voting rolls are solid. We purge who needs to be purged. We double check. We make sure that the people that vote here actually live here. They're living in their precincts that they say that they're living in. And we're constantly doing audits of the voter roll. And if you don't do that, you're asking for trouble. Now, Colorado, not a conservative state. Washington state, not a conservative state. And both of them embrace a lot of what Republicans have said all along, is that if you go through these issues, you deal with these processes, you take it seriously to ensure an outcome that's meaningful. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're up. What say you? Pandora, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. This is quick. When I worked for the state with substance abuse and mental health, we just looked them up from Social Security by their card, identified them that way. Then we could take them to the driver's place and get them a Louisiana ID. I carry both of them because I don't like to leave my driver's license in stores and stuff. And it counts for anything, even to vote. So there is no excuse that people can't go get it. You know, you don't have to have a driver's license. You can get the ID with your Social Security card.
So you support having to prove citizenship to register to vote?
No, I do. I really do, because I don't know who's not, you know. That's a hard question. I'm ambivalent on that. I just know there is, like, no excuse where poor people can't get registration if they need to.
When you got your driver's license, when you got your driver's license, did you have to bring a birth certificate?
I think so, because I was 16. But you can get a Louisiana ID that's as good as a driver's license.
Absolutely.
For voting and stuff, but all you need is your Social Security card, and they will check you out by that.
And right. That is true. Thank you so much, Pandora. Appreciate it. We will be right back. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. It's Free for All Friday, and Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Wow, like, this is really great. We're in this, we're in a conference room. There's a bunch of food. People are drinking mimosas already. And, I mean, it's a rainy Friday afternoon. We're at GoTax Resolution. It's the grand reopening of GoTax Resolution in Mandeville on the North Shore. So, you know, we're going to kind of put politics aside and mostly have a fun show this afternoon.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Got an incredible lineup. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Go Tigers, go Wave, go Saints. We'll see you on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.